before dawn. Every man has a story, and the story goes on. From a granddad's eyes to a newborn son. Why farm is in my blood.
We all benefit from Michigan farm families who take pride in perfecting the art and science of growing fresh, high-quality foods and products year after year. Local Michigan farmers nurture what nature gives them, growing some of the most popular foods and products. Did you know that we rank number one in the nation in more than 15 products? In fact, more than 50,000 local farm families help to grow and raise more than 300 different great-tasting, high-quality, fresh foods and products, making us the second most agriculturally diverse state in the nation. Hello, and thanks for listening today. Today, I'm talking to Alan Robinette of Robinette's. How are you, Alan?
Great. How about yourself?
I'm great. So tell me about your multifaceted business.
Well, our farm was started in 1911 by my great-great-grandfather. He purchased it from a peach farmer, and we've slowly diversified from peaches to apples and cherries and all sorts of things over the years. And in the 70s, we changed our business to a retail operation only. So we sell all of our produce and all of our goods right here on the farm. And ever since then, we've continued to evolve to include a winery, a bakery, corn maze, hay rides, and all sorts of things.
There are all sorts of things. So I'm assuming with the corn maze and things like that, that fall is your busiest time?
Yes, that's correct. After Labor Day, Labor Day through the end of October is our busiest time of year.
And I'm assuming also your most fun time of year, right?
Yes, absolutely. There's no shortage of things to do on the farm that time of year. But we're open year-round. We've got you pick cherries in July. We've got our winery is open year-round and our bakery as well. So there's always something to do on the farm.
How did you get involved with it in the first place? Obviously, it was in your family, but did you start working there like when you were born, like a lot of us?
Yes. That was how I got my allowance, was I worked for it. so I don't remember it being very much, but you know, it was enough to buy candy and stuff. so I don't remember how old I was when I was officially put on payroll. I think I was 14. But I've spent my whole life on the farm. I've had other jobs, but I've never left the farm. I've always been working on the farm while I've been working those other jobs. So it's always been in my nature to be a farmer.
What do you like most? I know that people have a lot of their areas of expertise or areas of interest when there's a larger business like this. What do you like to take charge of?
During the fall is probably, even though I work the hardest then, it's probably my favorite just because there's so much going on and there's just a lot of people that come to the farm. And I love seeing that. I love seeing the people enjoying themselves from something that my family has you know, helped to grow into a good business. I just really enjoy people enjoying the farm. Cherries, you pick cherry season in July. I love that. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the free cherries that I eat all the time. But there's a lot of good parts to this job.
I know what you mean about people enjoying the farm type of thing. I live on a dairy farm, and when people come and they love it, you're just so happy because you're like, I love this too. What wouldn't you like about this?
Yeah, it's great to see something I've poured a lot of my life into to be enjoyed. If people came and all they said was, this is terrible, I probably wouldn't feel that way.
I was scrolling through your Facebook before our call, and you had a lot of pictures of your grandparents and your family members. So I take it that everyone has pitched in and you all do it together?
Yes. So I'm the fifth generation on the farm, and I've worked with my dad, my uncles, and my mom, and my aunts, and my cousins, and my brother. And before that, I worked with my grandparents, and they worked with theirs. So it's been a family operation very much so since the beginning.
That is really nice. And when you're talking about visitors, what kind of numbers do you have, and where are you located so people can find you?
Oh, so we are 10 minutes outside of Grand Rapids, just outside of downtown. We're on the corner of 4 Mile and East Beltline at 3142 4 Mile Road Northeast. On a fall weekend, boy, it's so hard to keep count. We don't track, because we don't charge admission to the farm, it's hard to be sure. I do have a drone photo of all the cars that we have. So if you count the cars and count, between 1 and 4 occupants per vehicle. I mean, there's a lot of people here at one time. But over the course of the year, we get people from all over the world. We've had visitors from all different countries that we're lucky enough to be featured in websites like TripAdvisor and lots of lists of things to do in the Grand Rapids area. So there's usually Frederick Meyer Gardens, and then right below that we're listed on some guide. So it's an honor to be featured in that way and thought of so highly.
Yes, that is great, especially because this is the kind of thing people want to find. Things to do near Grand Rapids. Oh, maybe you should go to this place that has everything you could want. When you were expanding to the winery and to the bakery and to all these things, what did people ask you? Like, what kind of questions do people have for you when they come and visit?
Well, early on when we were expanding to have a bakery, that was the 70s. And at the time, we said, granted, this is before my time, but we started offering donuts and people said, hey, you know what would be nice is a place to sit and eat those donuts. So we added a dining room. And that was right when we were adding a cider mill. So they're saying, well, you know, it'd be nice to have a place to buy it by the glass rather than just by the jug. So we added our cider bar. And as we've added our winery, we get people asking all sorts of questions about, you know, what got you into this? And with the winery, that was one of the rare instances where we kind of made that decision ourselves. Usually it's a reaction to demand, but we didn't. No one was coming to the farm and saying, hey, where's the wine? But we added the winery, and we haven't looked back. That's been an excellent part of our business, and it's something that people really seem to enjoy when they come.
Yes, that is so fun. And again, what people love is when they go somewhere, there are so many different things. You like this part, you like this part, and there's something for everyone in a lot of these things. Well, since it's open year-round, I know that you're doing different things year-round. How do you take care of the apples throughout the year?
Well, right now we're going through and we're pruning all the trees to make sure they grow the way we want them to. So all the apple trees right now, I go through and I cut the three largest branches off every tree and any branch that might be shading on lower limbs, because that'll prevent fruit from growing on those lower limbs. So it's a lot of work, but it has to be done, and it has to be done in winter when the tree's dormant. So that's our job in the winter, and in the spring we're really making sure those trees are growing how we want them to. By we might be correcting how they grow. We'll tie them to the trellis wire that we've put up for them, and a lot of pest management. So for example, in about April or May we'll start putting out mating disruption. So for certain pests like the codling moth, we'll put out a pheromone emitter, which keeps agricultural pests from finding each other, so they can't lay eggs on the fruit. So it's very simple stuff like that, but it keeps us busy.
How does the pheromone emitter, is it a mist? Is it something like, what form does it come in?
So it comes in a little, it looks like a twist tie. So there's a couple different kinds. There's one that you twist onto the tree and you just hang it up on the highest part of the tree. And all it does is it puts out a smell. And so these agricultural pests that used to be such a problem, they can't find each other anymore. So at least just in our orchard. So it's a very interesting solution to a complex problem.
Yes, that
very
is
simple solution.
Well, interesting too, because I don't think that everybody knows about that, especially that it comes in the form of a twisty tie. That's so much easier. I was thinking like some sort of mister. So that's wonderful that it works like that. And that it's not disruptive. You're saying not that you can't find each other, just go to a different club. This isn't your nightclub.
Right. And the codling moth, I'm not sure what natural predators they have, but if those just went away, I think everyone would be happy. No one would miss.
Only the cobbing moths would care. Everyone else would be fine with it. When you are growing apples and you were saying that you cut off the three largest branches, is that also because of the shade, or is that so it keeps producing fruit? How does that work?
The idea is we want constantly renewed limbs. So if you go and cut the three largest limbs off, or two or three, depending on the tree. I mean, if they're younger, it might be different.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll want new branches. Everywhere you cut, it'll force new growth. And so the idea is if you come back every year, you're having a new set of branches every so often. And that encourages new growth on the tree, and you get good fruit from young limbs like that.
That's nice, because then you always have some work. You never have to worry about, like, do I have anything to do today? You can always go and prune something.
Right. If I'm having trouble finding something to do, that means I'm ignoring something. Yeah,
what kind of apples do you like to grow the most, and which ones do you like to eat?
Oh, I've got a lot of favorites to eat. I'd say when it comes to tart apples, Empire is probably one of my favorites. It's just such it tastes like a sweet tart. It's very tangy. It's just an excellent apple. And Fuji is probably my favorite sweet apple. Well, Evercrisp is pretty new. That one's very, very good. That one tastes like, that one's as sweet as candy as well.
Nice.
But in terms of apples to grow, it really depends on the tree. I've got some Macintosh trees they're a newer variety, and they just grow exactly how I want them to grow. I don't have to really mess with them all that much apart from pruning a few limbs off. They just grow perfectly. I'd say black sweet cherries and peaches are something I really like to grow. The peaches are a lot of work, but they're one of my favorite fruits to eat.
Are a lot of the trees, I mean, like you said, it started from a peach farm and then expanded. Are the trees older, or is that not something, like, they can't get that old? Do you have to replace things?
Well, we often replace a lot of fruit because, for example, we had a good amount of Red Delicious, and there's just not demand for that anymore. So we've ripped those out, and we put new trees in, and there's always a better variety and always something new to offer. So if we only offered the same things as we did 20 years ago, people wouldn't really, you know, people might not necessarily want that kind of fruit anymore. But, for example, we do have one tree left from, I'd say it was planted in the 1930s,
mm-hmm.
probably 90 years old right now. And that is a northern spy tree that my great-grandfather planted.
Uh-huh.
So we take good care of it. Now, granted, it could get a disease and die, but as long as we take good care of it and keep it growing in a healthy way, then it should last for as long as nature allows.
This is a little bit different, but my house is 143 years old, and we have really giant trees in our yard, and I love each and every one of them. None of them produce fruit, but I have a tough time pruning them because I don't want them to look any smaller. And so my mom does it when I'm gone. She does it when I'm not home. So at least they're getting pruned, right?
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's funny how something like that, you know, your great-grandfather planted it, you have an attachment to this tree. I mean, you certainly want it to thrive.
We still pick the fruit from it, yeah.
Oh, good. Isn't that nice? Is that why peaches are your favorite?
Oh, well, I just like the taste of peaches. Actually, peaches are probably the hardest work for me because in order to properly... The way I like to harvest peaches is it'd be like a vine ripened tomato. We leave it on the tree until it's ready to pick, until we deem that it's ripe enough. So that way, it's not as firm like you'd find in a grocery store, or, you know, some peaches in a grocery store are on a truck for 2 weeks or however long. So when you come to Robinette to buy peaches, you know that they're as ripe as they can be and still be transported to the store from the orchard. But it's a lot of work. We have to go and pick the same trees many times until we pick them all. And the fuzz gets annoying. You get peach fuzz all over you.
Not just the mustache, actual peach fuzz that is there on your skin.
Yes. Yeah.
With last year and everything to do with the pandemic and obviously being in a tourism, were people still willing to come during the fall, or how did things affect you?
Well, we probably had one of our busiest years yet. Everyone Great. Was, all the customers were looking for something to do. There wasn't as much to do, and you were able to do stuff outside. So that we were very fortunate that we had activities that people could do outside and far apart from each other and safely. So we felt very blessed to have customers that thought of us when they thought of something to do in the fall.
Oh, that's so good. And what do you have upcoming this year? What do you have planned on the farm?
Well, we're hoping for a good return to normal.
Yes.
We're getting ready to plant our corn maize in a few months here, so we got to come up with a design for it. We have a unique design every year, and we're hoping to plant more U-pick trees. U-pick apples has been a huge hit for us, but we just don't have enough. So we're hoping to get some more trees for people to come and pick here.
Okay, so now I'm curious about the corn maze. Do you have a corn maze designer? Do you just put it into the GPS of the planter? How does it work?
So we've got a company that we work with. They do corn mazes all over the country and into Canada, and they're called the Maze Company, M-A-I-Z-E.
Perfect.
And that's they have a farm of their own called Corn Bellies up in Utah, but that is their business is corn mazes. And they we give them an idea of what we want our design to look like, and they mock it up and show it to us, and we say, yes, that's what we want it to look like, and we plant the corn in two different directions, so it's like a big sheet of grid. It's like a big grid, like a big grid paper, and they come and they plant flags where the turns will be, and they come and cut it all in about an hour or an hour and a half, right when it's about 6 inches tall to a foot, so that it all grows in the shape that we want it to. And they are experts at cutting corn into shapes.
That's so nice and neat that you can have someone who is an expert at it do that for you. It's always great when you're an expert. What are some of the designs you've had in the past?
Well, we've had everything from, we had Curious George or Snoopy. We've had Crop Circle Design. But last year we had... We honored the life of my grandparents with our corn maze design. So last year, both of my grandparents passed away, and we were able to change the design to honor their memory. So it's a Jim and Bethel Robinette. So they are so instrumental in our business continuing today. So our switch to retail was their doing. They saw that we're such a small farm, we weren't able to make it as a wholesale farm. So they really made the change to a retail farm, and that allowed us to be where we are today. So that was very special to us to honor them with our corn maze.
That is lovely, and I did see their picture on your site, and just really a nice way that you honored them there, too. So I'm glad that you were able to do that at a large scale in the corn maze as well. Well, it sounds like you have a lot coming up this year for you, too. And what about personally? When you're not farming, what do you like to be doing?
Oh, boy. Well, I don't get a lot of time, but I'm actually probably going to try and ride a bike tonight. It's the first day of the year that the weather's, worked for it. So I like cycling. I love movies, but farming will always be number one for me.
Of course. Like you said, if you don't have something to do, you're just not trying very hard there, but... Where can people find out more about you online?
So our website is robinettes.com, and our Facebook is Robinettes. I believe our Instagram is Robinettes Apple House, and I think our Twitter is Robinettes. But we're hoping to get really back into the swing of things. We've got new wines that we'll release periodically. Everyone should keep an eye on that. We'll have you pick cherry starting in July, and our first apple variety will be in July. First picking of our first apple will be in July as well.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot ahead for you, and I hope you have a wonderful 2021, even better than last year for when everybody came to visit you. Now that even more people know about you, hopefully they'll come in droves.
Yeah, well, thank you. Likewise.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you again for joining the Michigan Grown, Michigan Great podcast. It's indeed great to get to know the Michigan farmers behind local products in our marketplace. Supporting local farmers in your community is easy when you live in Michigan. We all benefit from the bounty of locally grown foods fresh from our state's family farmers. Thank you to Bex for helping us tell the stories of farmers through permission to use the Henningsons' Why I Farm song. It's an honor that we share to highlight real people and real farmers who are passionate about agriculture. Join us again soon as we discover more farm stories directly from local farm families. And to find more information about Michigan food and farming systems, please visit michigangrown.org. That's why I